President Benson, on behalf of the youth around the world, we thank you for your inspiring example. I speak to you who want to do right, to you who have had those stirrings in your heart to live worthily, no matter what others may say, and to you who want to have such feelings. You're the finest generation that has ever come to earth. We're proud of you. I have a burning desire to communicate truths which, if understood and lived, will fundamentally change your life. I ask you to help me. Will you listen with your mind and heart that my prayer that you will be helped can be answered? For a piece of wood to catch fire, it must first be heated to a temperature where it ignites, then burns by itself. The initial heating requires energy from outside. When it is ignited, it becomes self-sustaining and gives beneficial light and heat. For you, the early years of life are often spent in absorbing help from parents and others. As you prepare for the time, you can be more self-sufficient. I want to help you catch fire spiritually, that you may enjoy the marvelous experience of radiating strength to others while you continue to develop yourself. There is a more intense fire than that of burning wood. It is produced from a mixture of aluminum, powder, and metal oxide. By itself, it is cold and lifeless. But when heated to the ignition temperature, it becomes a self-sustaining source of brilliant light and intense heat. Once it ignites, it cannot be put out by ordinary means. It will burn underwater or in other environments that extinguish an ordinary flame. When it burns, it does not depend on its surroundings for support. It is self-sufficient. The spiritual flame in some is easily quenched by the world around them. Yet others live so as to be strengthened and nurtured by the Lord. They not only overcome the temptations of the world, their unquenchable spirit enriches the lives of others around them. Two missionaries who were aflame spiritually had spent an active day establishing a branch of the church in a remote village. At 5:30 that morning, they had taught a family before the husband left for the fields. Later, they had struggled to plaster the adobe walls to keep out blood-sucking insects. During the week, they had laid a cement floor and hung a 5-gallon can with a shower head to keep clean. They had begun a sanitation facility and put new gravel and sand in their water filter. For part of the day, they'd worked beside men in the fields to later teach them. They were exhausted and ready for a welcome rest. There came an anxious knock at the crude wooden door. A small girl was crying. She had been running and was gasping for air. They struggled to piece together her message delivered amid sobs and a torrent of words. Her father had suffered a severe head injury while riding his donkey in the darkness. She knew he would die unless the elders saved his life. Men of the village were at this moment carrying him to the missionaries. She pled for her father's life, then ran to help him. The seriousness of their desperate situation began to engulf them. They were in a remote village with no doctors or medical facilities. There were no telephones. The only means of communication was a rough road up a riverbed, and they had no vehicle. The people of the valley trusted them. They were not trained in medicine. They did not know how to care for a serious head wound. But they knew someone who did. They knelt in prayer and explained their problem to an understanding Father in heaven. They pled for guidance, realizing that they could not save a life without his help. They felt impressed that the wound should be cleansed, closed, and the man given a blessing. One companion asked, How will he stand the pain? How can we cleanse the wound and bless him when he's in such suffering? They knelt again and explained to their father, "We have no medicine. We have no anesthetic. Please help us to know what to do. Please bless him, Father." As they arose, friends arrived with the injured man. Even in the subdued candlelight, they could see he had been severely hurt. He was suffering greatly. As they began to cleanse the wound, a very unusual thing occurred. He fell asleep. Carefully, anxiously, they finished the cleansing, closed the wound, and provided a makeshift bandage. As they laid their hands on his head to bless him, he awoke peacefully. Their prayer had been answered, and his life saved. The trust of the people increased, and a branch of the church flourished. The missionaries were able to save a life because they trusted the Lord. They knew how to pray with faith for help with a problem they could not resolve themselves. Because they were obedient to the Lord trusted them and answered their prayer. They had learned how to recognize the answer when it came as a quiet prompting of the Spirit. You have that same help available to you as you live for it. The Savior said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you." Two young missionaries were walking down a dusty road. In their hands, they carried the scriptures, and in each heart burned a desire to share truth. They saw on the ridge of a hill a group of horsemen laughing and pointing toward them. They sensed they were in severe danger. Each prayed for help as a huge man on a powerful horse galloped down the hill toward them. His menacing whip slashed the air and cracked threateningly. He thundered closer. The sneer on his face communicated his cruel intent to harm them. Suddenly, he reined in his horse, paused, whirled, and disappeared down the valley. These elders trusted in the Lord and were living worthily. He therefore could protect them against danger they were helpless to avoid. Your determination to live righteously will make it possible for you to be protected from the dangers that surround you. I know that each one of you faces overwhelming challenges. Sometimes they are so concentrated, so unrelenting, that you may feel they are beyond your capacity to control. Don't face the world alone. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In many ways, the world is like a jungle with dangers that can harm or mutilate your body, enslave or destroy your mind, or decimate your morality. It was intended that life be a challenge, not so that you would fail, but that you might succeed through overcoming. You face on every hand difficult but vitally important decisions. There is an array of temptations, destructive influences, and camouflaged dangers, the like of which no previous generation has faced. I am persuaded that today no one, no matter how gifted, strong, or intelligent, will avoid serious problems without seeking the help of the Lord. I repeat, don't face the world alone. Trust in the Lord. If one of you has seriously sinned, repent now. It is not good to violate the commandments of the Lord. It is worse to do nothing about it. Sin is like cancer in the body. It will never heal itself. It will become progressively worse unless cured through the medicine of repentance. you can be made completely whole, new, purified, and clean every whit through the miracle of repentance. Trust in the Lord. He knows what He's doing. He already knows of your problems, and He's waiting for you to ask for help. Has one of you ever had the feeling you're walking alone down a dark tunnel that gets ever more depressing? No one seems to care. Life gets more and more complicated and discouraging. You may have been following a path many others have trod. It often begins with self-pity, then self-indulgence, and if not checked, to gross selfishness. Unless overcome by serving others, selfishness leads to serious sin with its depressing feelings and binding chains. It is the crowbar Satan uses to open a heart to temptation, to destroy agency. He would bind mind and body through crippling habits and separate one from our Father in heaven and His Son by cultivating selfishness. If you've had such feelings of depression, turn around. Literally, turn your life around. The other end of the tunnel is filled with light. No matter where you've been or what you have done, that light is always available to you. Satan will try to convince you that you've gone too far to be saved. That is a lie. You will need some help to get started. The scriptures are a good place to begin. A father, mother, brother, sister, bishop, or friend will help. As you move nearer the light through repentance, you will feel better about yourself and more confident in your future. You will rediscover how wonderful life really is. The Savior gave His life that you and I can correct mistakes, even the most serious ones. His plan is perfect. It always works for each one that follows the rules. Getting through the hazards of life requires understanding, skill, experience, and self-assurance, like that required to sink a difficult basket under pressure. In the game of life, that is called righteous character. Such character is not developed in moments of great challenge or temptation. That is when it is used. Character is woven quietly from the threads of hundreds of correct decisions, like practice sessions. When strengthened by obedience and worthy acts, correct decisions form a fabric of character that brings victory in time of great need. Righteous character provides the foundation of spiritual strength that enables you to make difficult, extremely important decisions correctly when they seem overpowering. Righteous character is what you are. It is more important than what you own, what you have learned, or what you have accomplished. It allows you to be trusted. It opens the door to help from the Lord in moments of great challenge or temptation. Be honest. Righteous character is based on integrity. Never lie to yourself. A lie can give temporary advantage, but it brings with it long-term difficulties. When you're completely honest with yourself and measure your acts against what you know is right, you will not be dishonest with anyone. Moreover, you will make sure the Lord can bless you when you need it. When you're tempted to break a commandment and hide it from others, don't do it. It will always hurt you. Satan will see to that. He'll make it known because he wants to destroy you. When you're alone with your friends, talk about doing good and being good. The feelings you'll have, the promptings that will come to you, will powerfully motivate you for good. Those who do wrong and scheme to get away with it will never know such feelings. If you don't feel comfortable with the thought of discussing good with your friends, they're not your friends. Change them. Each one of us has a natural, powerful desire to be accepted, to be liked, to be somebody. Years ago, I learned something of the price paid for trust and worthy recognition. During a summer break, I found a job on an oyster boat in Long Island Sound. Four of us lived together in an area not much larger than the cab of a big semi-trailer. At first, I was considered a spy for the owner, then a kid who didn't have courage to live like a man. They really gave me a bad time. Finally, when they understood I would not abandon my principles, we became friends. Then privately, one by one, they asked for help. You know what is right and wrong. Be the leader in doing right. At first, you may not be understood. You may not have the friends you want right away. But in time, they will respect you, then admire you. Many will come privately to receive strength from your spiritual flame. You can do it. I know you can do it. When your life complies with the will of the Lord and is in harmony with His teachings, the Holy Ghost is your companion in need. You'll be able to be inspired by the Lord to know what to do. When needed, your efforts will be fortified with divine power. Like the missionaries, you can be protected and strengthened to do what alone would be impossible. As we have talked, some of you have been prompted by the Spirit about private things the Lord wants you to do something about. You've been impressed to know what to do. Those feelings are the very most important part of our time together. They are a personal message of the Lord to you. Remember that message. Follow it precisely now for your happiness. We love you and we trust you. The Lord needs you for His purposes. Live His commandments. Learn to follow the promptings of the Spirit. Keep your spiritual flame glowing brightly. I testify the Lord lives. He loves you and will help you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.